My name is William Ferguson, and I'm known as the man who has been to Mars. This is the 18th anniversary of a great event in my life. Great events are occurring in the atmosphere of our planet, and greater events will occur during the next 2 years in particular because of the advent of the Martians, Venusians, and now the Jovians, who have interest in our development. I visited Mars in January 1947 and was given a message to the Earth's people. The Martians told me that I was the first Earthman they had ever been able to take to Mars. There was great rejoicing on Mars at that time. I was taken to Mars and returned to the Earth via the method and environment in which the Martians function, namely the fourth dimension. My three-dimensional body was raised into four dimensions and transported or teleported to Mars. This great feat of interplanetary and interdimensional travel was made possible through the activated principle of uniphysics, of which the Martians are adepts. The entire project was created by Kagwa, the chief uniphysicist of our solar system, who is a member of the Holy Triune. The detailed work was accomplished by the uniphysicist of Mars working with the plan outlined by Kagwa. There has been a great cosmic plan concerning the planet Earth functioning during the past 11,000 years. The finale of that plan is upon us now. The message I was given to give to the Earth's people explains the why and the wherefore of that plan. The most controversial questions and problems which have plagued the Earth's people can now be answered and solved with the wisdom given to me by these very human but immortal beings. I feel very humble to have been chosen for so great a mission. The responsibility is great, the ridicule has been outstanding, but help has been given constantly since 1947 by the appearance in our atmosphere of the visitors from Mars, Venus, and Jupiter to substantiate the details of the message given to me. In February of 1954, I spent 5 hours aboard a Venusian flying saucer and was briefed in great length by the oligarchs of Venus concerning the part they are playing in this great drama concerning the planet Earth, according to cosmic plan. I was told to give the message in detail by word of mouth, wherever possible, and to have transcripts made, and later on to make the transcripts available to all the people of the Earth. This is all being accomplished at the present. The first public message was given September the 27th, 1954, and at least one message each week has been given since that date. The Martians and Venusian exist in their evolved reality, a state of four dimensions, four frequencies, which is our next evolutionary step. They are helping us to bring that about. They not only told me how that would take place, but gave me means and methods to pass on to all people to help them to attain the status necessary for the big step. I have personally been functioning interdimensionally since July the 9th, 1938. And that was why, as the Martians and later the Venusians told me, I had been chosen for this work as a messenger and representative of our solar system. The beauties and wonders of Martian life is indescribably beautiful. There is no death, no pain, no hate, no war. There is love, harmony, peace, joy, and happiness. The Martians have living areas which are completely enclosed in magnetic light fields. These enclosures are mistakenly referred to at times by our astronomers as canals. Beyond the confines of the gravitational orbit of a planet, the photo lens sees in four dimensions. Beyond this orbit, time ceases to exist as we know it. Reality begins here, which is four-dimensional. Time is now consciousness, and space is the movement of consciousness. The present race of Martians have not reached a perfected state as yet, but they are immortals working toward perfection. They are able to function in three dimensions when they so desire. They merely project matter of their reality and thereby become visible to us. Because, as you will see, we are the projected matter of our reality. The only difference between us and the Martians is we don't know it, and as a rule will not understand it when it is pointed out to us. Even though we have not known it, we coexist in three and four dimensions, and in our case, the accent has been the three, because we have been deluded into denying the existence of the fourth. In four dimensions, there is no language barrier. There is a transcription of consciousness ahead of any spoken word, which makes all languages understood. Therefore, all tongues become the universal language. The Martians taught me how to apply uniphysics principles and laws into matter projections in three dimensions, which will surely bring about the evolvement necessary to break the dimensional barrier which has held the earth man enslaved to three-dimensional matter. This very thing is being accomplished every day at this time. Some of the information I have received cannot be printed because of the very evil creatures of this planet who would obstruct the transformation of the great plan. However, any and all the good ones of the planet Earth will be given every iota of all I have been given, if they so desire, and will talk to me personally. I am available.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ferguson. Your story was quite interesting, and while I am fairly new to the UFO investigation field, there are several questions I would like to ask you about your experiences. You mentioned that I believe you took your first trip or your first contact was in 1947. Is that correct?
That was the time I went to Mars in 1947. My first contact with space people or with space experience was July the 9th, 1938.
Oh, then you've been in this field quite a while, researching along these lines.
Yes, sir. If we were to explain it in our terminology, would be the physics that has to do with the entire universe or the entire cosmos. Physics, as we understand it, or science, as we understand it, is the search for truth. Uniphysics is the finding of truth.
Now, it isn't quite clear to me whether your experience has been an objective experience or a subjective experience. Would you mind clarifying that a little?
Every one of my experiences have been objective.
You speak of this process of, is it I don't know whether or not I'm using the correct term, transmutation, or where you're...
Teleportation.
Teleportation. And that's where the molecular components of your body are transferred from one spot to another. Is that correct? Or?
Yes. First, they are first changed, that is, the frequency is changed. The actual structure, the very atomic structure of my body is changed from a three-dimensional frequency to a four-dimensional frequency, and then, after that has taken place, then I am teleported through space in my four-dimensional frequency. Then I would be returned, which has been the case in hundreds of times, I would be returned to the Earth's four-dimensional frequency, and then the change into three-dimensional frequency takes place.
Well, where does this phenomenon take place? I mean, you leave here and you arrive at another place. Do you have to prepare yourself physically or mentally or spiritually for the process?
The only preparation that is necessary, the only preparation that has been necessary for me, has been to relax and to be completely neutral and not to have fear. The process of teleportation is an awesome thing, and if one was not prepared for it, they would be frightened out of their wits, because if you can, as you feel yourself being completely taken apart, so to speak, and if you didn't know what was taking place, or if you hadn't had preparation for it, you would become very frightened. And in all probability, it wouldn't be attempted with anyone who had not had great preparation. Because even before July the 9th, 1938, I had been an adept at relaxation, and I taught relaxation, and I had written a book which will teach people how to relax, and the title of that book is Relax First. And many thousands of people have practiced that technique, and today some of my students have had teleportation.
Just a few more questions along this same line. When do you know in advance that this type of thing is going to take place? Are you told whether it's going to take place, or do you just choose any arbitrary time that you want?
I do not choose any time that this takes place. The actual teleportation is engineered by celestial beings, and in my case, it is Kagwa.
In other words, he gets in touch with you for some means.
Yes, he causes the teleportation to take place. I can tell when it is about to take place. I'm relaxed, I'm quiet, I'm peaceful, and it starts like a current of energy of great power. It starts in the solar plexus, and I feel it go from the solar plexus up to the top of my head, and it increases in tempo, and it increases and faster and faster and faster, and finally it goes so fast that the actual change has begun, and I'm fully conscious, and I do not lose consciousness. I remember everything. That's why it is completely objective. And I know when it has become final, that is, the teleportation has taken, the change has become final, and then it's, as far as my part is concerned, is one of wondering, well, now, which planet am I going to, or where am I going to in the universe at this particular time? Because it's not something that I have arranged. I have been an instrument and have been, and without fear, permit Kagwa to take me and show me and enlighten me on whatever he decides is good. Because each and every experience of this nature I've had has been informative for all the peoples of the planet Earth.
One other question along that particular phenomena is that, is anyone else allowed to be present and to be in your vicinity when this takes place, or are you supposed to be alone?
It has taken place when members of my family have been around, and if they are, when it does take place, they don't see me because I become invisible. This has never taken place with strangers, to the best of my knowledge. If anyone was observing me at the time, but I have walked around my home after I have been teleported to four dimensions, passed my hands through members of my family, walked through their body, attempted to talk to them, I was completely inaudible and invisible to them.
And in the meantime, your physical three-dimensional body had disappeared?
Yes.
Both to your sight and to anyone left in the vicinity in which you deported?
Yes. Often we hear people say, I left my body, or I was separated from my body. In my case, that has never been. I have never seen my body. My body has always been with me. I have looked at the place where my body was previous, and there was nothing there because I was here.
Also, I imagine whatever clothing you're wearing at that time is also teleported with you.
Yes. Yes, that is.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you actually, then, is it my understanding that you have or have not traveled in spaceships or flying saucers per se?
No, I have not traveled in spaceships or flying saucers.
Now, you mentioned that this first experience was in July the 9th, 1938, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And, once again, I don't remember how to pronounce the entity's name that you...
Kagwa. It is spelled K-H-A-U-G-A, and it is pronounced Kagwa.
And he is from what place?
He is from the Holy Triune.
Now,
he's also known as the Spirit of Truth.
Have your experiences been confined to this planetary system, or have you been allowed to observe anything outside of this solar system?
I have observed much outside of this solar system. I have observed creation in action. I have looked and gazed upon what some people might call the ever-living, other people call the Almighty. And I would tell you now exactly what they look like, because there's two of them, and yet they are one. There is a sphere of pure intelligent energy completely surrounded by a cube of pure substance. That is the heart, the center of the ever-living, of the Almighty. And everything that has been created is part of their created body, and that which has not been created, or the uncreated part of the cosmos, is part of their body, but it is that part of their body which has not been expressed as yet.
Does this have anything to do with a theory that was postulated recently about the possibility of the sun having a cube as a center? Is the interrelationship between this? Sun.
There might be some relationship because, of course, in Unifysics, we teach now. I teach the Unifysics as it was given to me by Kagwa, and many details by the Martians and other celestial beings, that the very building blocks of the cosmos are cubes with spheres inside of the cubes. In fact, that is exactly what an atom looks like. The atom is the macrocosm. It is the actual building block of the creators. It is completely and totally, it completely and totally fills all of the created and uncreated parts of the body of the cosmos.
Mr. Ferguson, I was wondering about elapsed time while you were away. Were you conscious of, how long were you away as we measure time on this earth?
As we measure time, the various experiences have been from, I would say, 1/2 hour to as long as 2 1/2 hours. Of course, time is different in 4 dimensions or 5 dimensions or 6 or 7 than it is in 3. And another great truth of unophysics is that time is consciousness. Space is the movement of consciousness. That is your space-time or time-space continuum.
That's the Einstein theory, too, I think. Isn't that Mr. Einstein's theory, relativity, time and space relationship?
Well, there is a Mr. Einstein postulated a theory, but it's not exactly the same as this. I wouldn't take anything away from Mr. Einstein, or I wouldn't expect Mr. Einstein to subtract from the theory of unophysics that was given to me by Cogwa.
At this point, I think that most of us present here would like to have the discussion open to a general discussion of flying saucers per se. Is that agreeable to you, to talk about flying saucers in
general,
the phenomena and the different viewpoints that those interested in this have on the subject? Any questions to start it off on? Well, I'll start it off. I seem to be monopolizing the conversation, but someone has needed to sort of monitor the discourse. Mr. Ferguson, do you anticipate any increase in flying saucers this year, 1956, or any time thereafter?
Yes. The sightings will increase in this year, in particular, in September. Now, of course, I am certain that at the present time there's not going to be a mass landing of flying saucers, because I have been told by the space people, when I have been functioning in their frequency and have talked to them face to face, that their purpose is to acquaint the people of this planet with the idea that they are not alone, that there are other beings in the cosmos and other planets are inhabited, other systems are inhabited outside of the Earth. Now that is one reason for them appearing. Another reason for their appearing is to help us in any way that they can to bring about a decontamination of the negative energy particles, of which there are 3 kinds, in the atmosphere of the Earth. One is the physical particles of contamination. Another is the mental particles of contamination, and the others are the spiritual particles of contamination. Now, the physical contamination, of course, everyone is familiar with that today. It is the talk of the world at this date. There's great controversy about the amount of the physical contamination. The mental contamination has to do with the thought, the wrong thinking, the negative thinking of so many people, and thoughts are things, actual particles, and you might summarize all of the things having to do with particles in an electronic sense, although electronics, as we know them, are coarse and slow as compared to the electronics of the mentality and of the emotion. Now, the spiritual aspect of the contamination, of course, is in the emotions. Negative emotions, the great amount of tension, emotional tension, which is still very rampant in the world today. Each time that is indulged in, a negative emotion is indulged in, there is negative spiritual particles that are released into the atmosphere. Now, the Martians in particular have been helping to decontaminate the planet of the physical contamination. And most everyone is familiar with angel's hair. Well, angel's hair is just some of the stuff that the Martians have released into our atmosphere in order to decontaminate it. And after the decontamination has taken place, of course, the negative particles that has been clung on or become a part of the angel's hair is disintegrated. That's why when angel's hair is touched, or if you leave it alone, it completely it disintegrates. But that is what angel's hair is, and that is the purpose of that. The Venusians are taking care of the decontamination of the mental negative particles. Our Jovian friends are taking care of the spiritual decontamination.
Would you clarify that term again, Jovian? It's not quite clear to me exactly.
Jovian is one who comes from Jupiter.
Mm-hmm. You speak of the radiation danger, and that's under discussion today by the world's top physicists. I think they're equally divided. Some say that it has reached a dangerous level. Some say that it has not. Is that what you had reference to, are the physical impurities in the air?
Well, I'm going to leave that stand as I stated.
All right. Another question. When you have this experience of teleportation to other dimensions and spheres of manifestation, are you able to actually see or comprehend the other entities? Do they have a three-dimensional or four-dimensional form? Or can you see it as a form as we know it, Homo sapien, or what?
Oh, yes. I have never, in all of my travels throughout the cosmos, have ever met any entity that looked otherwise than a human being. In fact, it's quite easy to describe a Martian or a Jovian or Saturnian or any of the ones that I have come in contact with. Because there's plenty of them right here on the earth today that is walking around that we call human beings that originally were from came from those planets. And but just because an immortal being is functioning in a four-dimensional frequency doesn't make them any less real. In fact, they're much more real than the three-dimensional entity, or much more real than we are as we look at the, at each other at this time. Because there is a little law of physics which is very understandable, that whatever is the most solid will pass through that which is the least solid. And if you remember in the part of this interview, I said that when I was functioning in a four-dimensional solid will pass through that which is the least solid. And if you remember in the part of this interview, I said that when I was functioning in a four-dimensional frequency, that I could pass through the body of someone in three dimensions. And that is the reason, because I'm more solid and more real. And after all, the Earth physicists tell us that we are mostly space.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ferguson, for allowing us to make this tape.